one I've ever been to. And that's what I want God to do. I want God to be so amazing and so real when we gather together that when we go home, He remains amazing and real. It's not like just an experience that we have here and then the rest of the time we wonder where God is. No, where He's with us. He says He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's always with us. Thank you, hon. Well, last week I was going to preach a message, and God changed that. Praise the Lord. So this week, I send Jesse a text and say, this is the message title. Last week, I think he first erased it or marked through it, and then he wrote another thing, and then marked through that, and then he finally got the message on the DVD. But we need to give God room to work. How many know that? We have to give Him room to be who He wants to be, what He needs to do, so that He can accomplish what He wants to do, what He wants to accomplish in our lives. Well, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but we are facing moral crisis in our country. I mean, we're facing economic crisis. Drop something there. We're facing spiritual crisis and moral crisis. I believe we're facing all these crises because of spiritual crisis. I believe if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek their face and turn from their wicked ways, guess what He said He would do? He would hear from heaven, He would forgive our sins, and He would heal our land. So, don't blame the politicians. Don't blame them. Don't blame everyone else out there who voted whoever you think in. It's the people of God who have not been the people of God in this country. And that's why we face what we face. It's not because someone else out there is running the country wrong. And, you know, especially if you didn't vote, do not say anything about the man who's running the country other than pray for God to bless him with wisdom. Pray for God to give him insight. You know, he touches anybody who gets enough prayer. You realize that? Prayer changes things. So we have an opportunity to be people of action. People who just don't say something needs to be done and then wait for someone else to do it. And I don't know if you guys know, but I think it was about 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, our governor signed into a law that a homosexual marriage was acceptable in the state of Washington. That means a man and a man or a woman and a woman. And I'm going to teach you here in a moment that that's not the way God designed it. And I believe that kind of moral crisis, when it's able to propagate and grow, makes our environment more and more a place where God has to really do things in His people to get change to happen. Now, for whatever reason, God has made it so that we, His people, make things happen on this earth. I mean, the Holy Spirit could have came on Pentecost and literally went and spoke to every single individual heart of the people that He wanted to get saved then, and He could have just did it one-on-one, but He chose to do it through men. He chooses to use you and me. And so we have an opportunity here, a challenge, to get individuals who are registered voters to sign. Number one, this is an initiative, I-1192, and this initiative basically will say, I don't want to read the whole thing, but the whole point of it is that marriage is defined as a civil contract between one man and one woman. It will prohibit marriage for same-sex couples. So this will be a new law to basically overturn the other law. It'll be an initiative. And of course, yes, the courts and the judges will figure that one out. And then this is a referendum, and this referendum will stop what just happened a couple of months ago. Actually, when all the signatures are on this, I think we need 120,000 registered voters of the state of Washington. When all the signatures are on this, it will literally stop that law that just passed in its tracks until this gets, I guess, enforced. Till the November vote. There we go. So we have a chance today at 2 o'clock to go and participate in a prayer rally for marriage of one man and one woman. And that's at 2 p.m. at Mead and 10th, and it's Yakima Christian Center. And then if you can't make that, at 5:30, Yakima Covenant Church in Zilla. So if you'd like more information, you could see Sandy. Sandy, you might want to stand so that people can see. At the end of this service, Sandy will be back in the back with these. And you can take these home. You can take these to your registered voted neighbors. They have to be registered to vote. They have to be literally people that can vote. And their signatures will count for this. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke. The title of today's sermon is The Principle of Marriage. A couple months ago, the Lord put it on my heart, I really needed to share. And this was not necessarily because of this. I look at the Lord, His timing is amazing. And He really wanted me to share about marriage and what it really is, what it's not, and how a husband and wife in Christ are to interact, interrelate, understand each other, and watch the kingdom of God, because of their union, grow. Now, if you were married before you were a Christian couple, and then you became a Christian couple, the intention of your marriage now is no longer just you as husband and wife to build this happy life and amass things and send your kids to college and, you know, all those things are fine, but a Christian marriage is now here on this earth to establish the kingdom of God. Now some of you are like, whoa, that's different. Listen to this. It says here that in Luke chapter 20, verse 27, then some Sadducees step forward, a group of Jews who say there is no resurrection after death. I want to say this. When you read in the Bible, Sadducees, a lot of times it doesn't explain that. And it's hard to remember Pharisees and Sadducees sometimes and try to think about what they believe. But let me give you a little clue that's helped me, that the Sadducees do not believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They just believe that you were here on this earth, you died, and you went to the dirt, and you could live for God while you were here. So they do not believe in the resurrection, so they're sad, you see. There you go. They don't believe in the resurrection, so they're sad, you see. So when you see Sadducees, you know, oh, those are the guys that don't believe in the resurrection. So they pose this question to Jesus, because remember, they don't believe in the resurrection. Teacher, Moses gave us a law that if a man dies, leaving a wife but no children, his brother could marry the widow and have a child who will be the brother's heir. Well, there were seven brothers. The oldest married and then died without children. His brother married the widow, but he also died. Still no children. And so it went one after the other until each of the seven had married her and died, leaving no children. So all seven of those brothers married the same woman, all in fulfilling a covenant relationship that God had established in the Old Testament, that if that man had not had a child with that woman, that the brother would then take the responsibility of marrying that woman so that the heritage of that man could go on. So no one had children with this wife, all seven of them. Finally, the woman died too. So tell us, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? For all seven were married to her. Now you guys see what they're doing here, don't you? They're trying to, with logic, trap Jesus. They're trying to get him to say, oh wow, that's a good question. I'm not sure about that one. But again, this is Jesus. He's the Word. He knows everything that is in the Word of God. He is the living, walking Word of God. He is the Son of God. And because of that, he knows the truth. And he releases the truth to him right here. I'm sure they didn't like it. But he says, Jesus replied, marriage is for people here on earth. But that is not the way it will be in the age to come. For those worthy of being raised from the dead won't be married then. And then they will never die again. In these respects, they're like angels. They are children of God, raised up to new life. But now, as to whether the dead will be raised, even Moses proved this when he wrote about the burning bush, long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died. He referred to the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. So he is the God of the living, not the dead. They are all alive to him. So, what does this have to do about marriage between one man and one woman? I'm glad you asked, but I would like to pray. Lord, I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. God, that your word is what we can base our life on. Lord, your word is what we can put our hope in. And God, your word is what instructs us and guides us and leads us into all truth. And Holy Spirit, I pray today that you would bring revelation and understanding to our hearts and our minds, so that if the lies of the enemy and the deceit of this life and the philosophies of man have crowded out, Lord, your truth from our life, God, that, Lord, your truth would be established today. Lord, that you would be true, as your word says. Let God be true and every other word of man a lie. Lord, we do not want to believe the father of lies. We want to believe the father of glory. We want to believe our heavenly father. So, Lord, we put our hearts and we fix our hearts on you right now. We set our attention and our gaze on you right now. And we say, let the perfect law of liberty in your word, God, set us free today. And Lord, let us be mobilized, God, as your people to bring your kingdom into this earth, Lord, as you've declared for us to do in your word. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in Jesus' name. You know, when I was first saved, I missed this. And, you know, I wasn't like totally ignorant to it. I read through it, but I guess it never really clicked that well at first. And, you know, you think that when you're married to somebody, you think it's, well, this is for eternal. This is an eternal thing. And the Lord had to really, like, change me, renew my mind, and show me that no, marriage is for here. It's for now. Now, some husbands and wives say, aw, you mean we don't get, a little porch up in heaven and sit there and rock together? No. You don't. And that is a good thing. Do not be sad about that. We have new lives in heaven. We have new bodies in heaven, and we are not like we are here. We're like angels. Now, that doesn't mean we're floating around with little wings on clouds. That's not what that means. It means that we're not given in marriage anymore. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Or, for all we know, we're sons of God. How that all works out, I don't know. I'm not God. What I'm trying to declare to you is, honey, would you come stand here with me? And I tell people this when I'm premarital counseling them, because I think this is important. Before Pastor Gay, before she is my wife, she is my co-heir in Christ. That may be hard for you some to believe. No, she's your wife now. But eternally, and somehow from the foundations of the earth, God knew us. And she is my co-heir in Christ. Now you think about how you treat your co-heir in Christ, not your wife. Think about how you treat your fellow laborer in Christ, the one that's to walk this life with you in tandem, in partnership, in union, as a faith covenant. Right? You could probably add to that, couldn't you? Mm-hmm. Do a tag team. We've done that before. It's fun. Yeah. Another time. So, Jesus is trying to be tricked here, and they're asking him, listen, teacher, we know you're wise. What about this one? And he clearly says in If you'll turn with me to Mark Twelve twenty-seven. It is the parallel scripture of this event. But Jesus adds in this portion, "So he is the God of the living, not the dead. You have made a serious error." So through Mark or through Peter, most likely, Mark got this understanding that Jesus added, "You have made a serious error." And I think that's what's happening to mankind. They're making serious errors. And the reason is, if we go to Matthew here. Yeah, here it is right here. Matthew 22:29, again another parallel of that same. So that's in this account of what happened here is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's not recorded in John. But listen to what he says here. Jesus replied, "Your problem is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God." That's becoming the problem of his church, of his people. We don't know the word, and because we don't know the word, we don't even understand the power of God. And folks, we need to know the truth this day. This is an advertisement right now. Start reading your Bible. Start getting the Word of God in you. And you can, yeah, if you want to start in Genesis 1:1, you can and do it that way. My, if you've never read the Bible, my advice to you would be start in the New Testament or go out and get a one-year Bible. Or take your iPhone or an Android and you can go and get what's called the U version of the Bible. And you can read the Bible right on your phone. And it'll keep track of your days, and you can mark it off, and it's free. Huh? There's daily reads. There's all kinds of stuff you can get. But start reading the Word. Start knowing the truth. If these Sadducees had known the Word, and was the Word there? Well, the Pharisees believed the Word, so they must have understood and read some things a little bit better than the Sadducees did. Because the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. Read your Bible. I mean, if God's people would just start reading their Bible, not just reading it and say, "Oh, I've read my Bible," but read the Bible because it is the Word of God. It contains life. It contains transforming power. It will renew your mind. It will change who you are, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I mean, if more Christians read their Word, we wouldn't even need altar calls. They'd read it in the Word. Oh, man, it says that greater is he is in me than he that's in the world. Well, that means anything in the world is less than God. Greater is he that's in me. So I guess, Lord, just have your perfect way. It can be that simple. I was talking to a brother yesterday, and he said, "You know, when I was first saved, I remembered this scripture. I memorized the scripture, and every time I got into like temptations or things going on in my life, I always quote this same scripture, and I never really knew exactly, you know, if it was because it wasn't like specific for what I was going through, but it helped." And you know why? Because the word is truth. And what he quoted was, let me see if I can get it here. I might need help. Okay, if I start it, someone help me. Oh. Galatians. Let me get it here. I just like went blank. I know about the part warring against the flesh and the spirit because they're contrary to one another. But how's it start? There you go. "I say, therefore, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the desires of the lust of the flesh." Thank you. "For the flesh lusts against the spirit," or fights against the spirit, "and the spirit against the flesh. And they are contrary to one another." They are in a contradiction. They are not the same. And so if we could walk in the Spirit, we would not fulfill the desires of the lust of the flesh. School leaders, right? Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I knew that. Thank you, Jesus. So they had a serious error that they had made. Why? Because they did not know the Word of God. and they were in error and they did not believe the power of God. So, what is marriage for? Marriage is for here on earth. And let's go back to Genesis and see what God was up to. Because it's all about what God did. Man did not design marriage. Did you hear that? So man can't change marriage. God designed marriage. It's his baby. You start messing with his baby, he don't like it. So we can get in a lot of trouble if we continue to let people mess with his baby. All right, listen to this. This is Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. This is Adam, and he has just basically gone through all the animals, and he's giving them names. In verse 20, it says, he gives names to all the livestock, birds, and wild animals, but still there was no companion suitable for him. In other words, Adam was here on the earth by himself, created by God. If you want to know the full, illustration, what happened, it says that God formed him into this image, and he breathed his life in him. Nobody else, no animal on earth had that experience, and Adam became a life spirit. And he was walking, and he was talking, and he was communicating in communion with God. And he had an assignment. He was to have dominion of this earth. So he's naming all the animals. And it says that at the time that all the animals had been named and everything had been in order, there was no companion suitable for him. So the Lord God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. He took one of Adam's ribs and closed up the place from which he had taken it. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and brought her to Adam. I like this. This is New Living Translation. This is the old New Living Translation, so those of you who are following in different translation. But I like this. At last, Adam exclaimed. Isn't that good? Wow! At last, I've got somebody. She is part of my own flesh and bone. She will be called woman because she was taken out of a man. Now, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. Ah, there we go. Man leaves his father and mother, is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Notice that God did not clone Adam. Then you would have had two males, right? No. Adam was put to sleep, and God, from his rib, one of his ribs, created woman. So she was bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. I believe that Adam was somewhat even dissected at that moment. I believe there were characteristics because Adam was made in the image of God, right? I believe, you can't find this all through scriptures, but it makes sense to me that God took part of Adam and put him in Eve. That somehow he became one, but two. And if you've been married a long time, you know what I mean about how the two are separate, but you become like one. It's like there's a part of me that's in her, and there's a part of her that's in me, and it's weird. Some people use the term, I think Al uses the term, creepy. I mean, it's supernatural. It's not natural. And I believe that it even happens to unsaved married couples. They start to interrelate, and something's happened beyond just a physical expression. Something's connecting in their souls, and they're becoming soul connected. Lord, help me here. We don't take this gift of God that has been so freely given to us. It says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. There is a gift in relationships that God gives us. And if we don't realize that that gift is designed for a man and a woman. Now, others who choose to do other things. And they choose to live together and they choose to do what... That's their choice. We live in a free country. But for someone else to decide that what God has designed, what He has said, this is the plan, and then we are told, no, His plan is not the plan. We're going to put a plan B into effect. What happens is, see, when we take God's plans and we take His ways and we pervert them, it causes His truth to be perverted. And when His truth is perverted, then there is no true truth. There is no true absolute. And so when you lose absolutes, you give yourself to bondage. See, when we think of the scripture, you shall know the truth, and truth will make you free. Well, if you don't know the truth, if the truth is diluted, if it's watered down, if it's perverted, if it's changed so that it may sound somewhat like the truth, but it's not the truth, then you're putting yourself into bondage. And I'm telling you, folks, that's what's happened to our nation. Little by little, truths of God have been changed and perverted and challenged and removed. And now we have a void of truth. And what do we have? We have a people in bondage. You have people in bondage to drugs. You have people in bondage to sex. You have people in bondage to all kinds of things. Money, greed, lust, you name it. Because truth has been made void. There's a famine in the land for truth. And it's right here. It's never been more available. And yet, it's never been so ignored and avoided. Because everything else captivates us but God. There's thousands of things that we could do every single day. There's posts we can do, texts we can make, shows we can watch. I mean, there's jobs we can do, and then, what? Oh, there's all kinds of things that we can do that will distract us from God's word. And what happens? We become a people of God void of the truth. And guess what? We fall under bondage. And I'm a candidate. It's happened to me. But let's start saying enough is enough. Amen. Let's start saying, no, not on our watch. The day is changing. I will read my word. I will seek His face. I will hear His voice. I will respond in obedience to what He tells me to do. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, I will help change my environment. Now, we may not change Washington, D.C. from here. We might, but we can change our family. We can change the environment at work, possibly. Environment in our schools. And little by little, if enough environments are changed, what happens? The main environment changes. But we have got to start realizing that we can't sit back anymore. We can't sit back and let life pass us by, and let God pass us by, and let the anointing pass us by, and let the moment of being touched by Him pass us by. But also, just let things pass us by, and we say, well, you know what, it's all going to happen anyway. You know, I can't do anything to stop it. That's what a lot of people said. A lot of people said who were then later on accountable for what took place in the Holocaust. Nazis are going to do it anyway. We can't do anything to stop them. And what happened? They just kept progressing and progressing and progressing until Germans who didn't want to were living in an atrocity environment. And some of you say, well, Pastor Mike, that's... How could you even be, you know, likening what's taking place to Nazi Germany? I bet if you go back, you see little signs, You're going to see some handwriting on our wall that's going to be very much in line. Because deception and lies all follow the same way. We are not ignorant of his devices. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Those are his trademarks. He comes to take the truth away. Well, that's what he's doing. And we need to be a people that stand in this day. We need to be a people say, not on our watch. You know, we're on watch. Some of you may say, well, you know, I'm not really following you. Well, when we're alive at this time, we are responsible as people of God for what's going on. You may say, well, that's a heavy responsibility. Well, it is, but it's ours. It says in the Bible that if there's a man who's standing on a wall and he sees the army coming, but he doesn't blow the horn, letting people know that there's an army coming, and the army comes and takes the city and kills the people, it says that the blood of those people are not only just on the slayers, it's on his hands. But what if he was asleep and he didn't see them? I mean, what if he was just sleeping? It says if he fell asleep, the blood of the people are on his hands. Why? Because he was responsible for their protection. See, people don't like to hear this. People do not like hearing, we need to be responsible. We are accountable. We need to change. We need to become the people God's called us to be. We need to stand up and speak for those that can't speak for themselves. You're called radical. You're called, you know, troublemaker. Some of you are probably saying, Pastor, just quiet down. It's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. There is crisis around us. I see it. Listen, the earth is quaking with the crisis. About last week, there, I think there was like five to seven major earthquakes in different places all over. Jesus says those were going to be the signs of the last days. And again, you can get this attitude, well, it's all going to happen like it happens. That is a defeatist attitude. That is an attitude that says, what I do doesn't matter. You're saying what you do as an inspired, spirit-led man and woman of God, greater is the deposit of God that's in you than anything else in the world, and what you do doesn't matter? That's a lie from the pit of hell. And he's got so many Christians believing that, that they're sitting back like this. Well, my neighbors have always been heathens. They're never going to change. It's not going to matter if I go over and invite them over to a barbecue. Lie from the pit of hell. You could invite them over for a barbecue, and next thing you know, they're going to say, what's different about you guys? Nobody's ever invited us over in this neighborhood. And you say, ooh, this is opportunity. God's plan is one man, one woman. That's his way. That's his baby. And we are blessed because of it. But if we let our environment dictate without saying anything. Now, if we say things, if we do what's right, if we know what God's asking us to do and we do it and things continue to go that way, then it's like we're sounding the horn that the army's coming. Army's coming, everyone! And they all just sleep and they all just say, oh, no big deal, we've heard that before. Same old, same old. The army comes in, charges. The watchman wasn't responsible. But we are watchmen in this day. Amen. We are responsible. So we need to be people of action, not just people of words. I'm so tired of people of words. I'm so tired of people who say, we got to do something. And you say, okay, let's do something. Well, I don't want to do anything. Like, you mean not me? You mean, I was saying we got to do something, or they got to do something, somebody else has to do something. No, we do have to do something. And I would say, number one, start by reading your word. I would love it if I quoted things and you guys go, oh, pastor, sorry, that's wrong. You missed it. Thank you. Doesn't happen very often. I bet there's tons of pastors up there who are teaching, maybe miss their notes up, and the people don't even have a clue. They're just sitting, yeah, listening. Let's be good Bereans. You know, the Bereans were a city that basically when they heard the truths that were being taught to teach. I don't know. Anyway. See, if I don't do this, I mean, it's my natural humor. It's, you know, if I changed to where everything I said was right, you guys wouldn't laugh. You guys wouldn't do nothing. You know, it's like you'd be sitting there, this guy's boring. No, but I mean, they taught. What they were taught, they went and they studied the book. They studied the truths that were there. And they said, oh, what Paul said is right. Now, they weren't going to the New Testament. They were going to the Old Testament, the law. They were going to, you know, the prophets. And they were receiving the truths that were in there. Man, we have got to be people that are not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And I'll tell you what, you can't come on Sunday and hear words and then go out and do them. It does not work that way. You can't hear it one time and then do it. You've got to put that in your heart. Because you know how much negative junk has been put in there to reverse the truth? You need to hear the truth over and over and over again. You know how many times I've read through the Bible and still I have to go, greater is he that's in me, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I do. Because everything in the natural says that's not true. What are you saying? Did God say that? Just like he did to Eve. Did God really tell you that? The enemy of our souls does not want us to know who we are. Does not want us to know the power that's in us. Does not want us to know the day that we're living in, the times that we're living in, how critical they are, and what kind of crisis we're in. He wants us to all be sitting back in our own little lives. And you know what you're going to find? It's not until you press into God that the enemy messes with you. So if you're saying, well, pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. My life's going great. That's because you're asleep. But you start turning your eyes towards the King. You start saying, you know what, Lord, I want to hear what you have to say. Start communicating to me. And yes, sir, I will be obedient to what I hear. And you start doing that, guess what? You're going to have some opposition. That's why Jesus said, rejoice. Yeah, when we're saying, press into God, press into God. Some of you are saying back, boy, if I press into God, I'm going to have like all hell break loose. That's true. But greater is he that's in you than that hell. It's the truth. Do not let the enemy win. Do not let him have a heyday with our lives to the place where we are apathetic, ignorant, and without power, that he just steamrolls over all of our loved ones, all of our friends, our society with the lie that God is dead. Because that's what that says. I'm sorry. When they write that, they're not saying Jesus is Lord or even God is God. They're saying man is God and we will choose who can have a union. Are you going to let people tell you God is dead? Are you going to let people tell our state God is dead? Or tell our nation God is dead? Not on my watch. God is alive and well. And he has transformed my life. And he will transform a homosexual's life who's caught up in a relationship that he wishes he really wasn't in. If you could get to the depths of his heart, you could get to the depths of his conscience, you would come up with a person and say, help me be free. Help me to be healed from these damaging things that happened to me as when I was a kid, and I don't know up from down, left from right. And that's what we carry, the truth, folks. And the truth will make people free. It will set them free. We don't set them free, but truth does. Truth is eternal. Truth is timeless. Some people say, well, the Bible was written 2,000 years ago. We need to rewrite it for our day. No, we don't. We don't need to take the Bible and make it basically fit the way that we are in our culture now. That's a lie from the pit of hell. We take the Word of God at its truth, at the core of its truth. We apply that core to our lives, and guess what? It works. Being a Christian works. Pursuing God works. But it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a war. This is not going to be easy. And this is a political issue, really, that falls into a moral issue. It really boils down to, if people's hearts were changed, we wouldn't even need that. If we were people of faith with true dedication, true commitment, true hearts after God in His Word, in prayer, in devotion, in spending time with each other, in accountability, in transparency, and all those things that it takes to be a man and woman of faith, then you know what? Lives around us will change, and if enough lives change, that changes. During the Welch Revival, they closed the bars, they closed the sports stadiums, they closed just about anything else that we would have called, you know, other secular activities. And guess what people were doing? Seeking God. If He did it in Wells, He can do it here, in Yakima, in Washington State. He's no respecter of person or geography, I believe. When there's enough hungry hearts seeking Him, He'll come. My Bible says that seek Him and you will find Him when you search for Him with all your heart. That doesn't mean just one person. I believe that's a whole community if they want to. But truth has got to be truth in our day. Listen, people are so hungry for a true faith, for a reality walk, for something that is real, that's not just made up, that's not just planned out, and everything looks good and smells good, but it's full of dead man's bones. There's no resurrection power. There's no life. Yeah, they draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. People are so tired of that. I want reality. I told somebody, actually I told lots of people, told you that night. I said, you know what? Some people say, this is crazy what he just said. I mean this, Lord, 100% God, if you do it, you'll blow me away and I'll be excited. If I never stand up here and take an opportunity to preach the Word to you, if I never did, and God moved in such a way that was so sovereign, so powerful, so mighty, that when people came in here, they literally had sin, guilt, chains broken off of their lives, that people were raised up that spoke the Word of God that day, next day, and I mean, I just cheered them on, I would be a happy pastor. Because it's not about me hearing my own voice. It's about the anointing breaking yokes. It's about the truth of God being released in this day where really people can say, God is alive. And I want Him. This is a day of action. This is a day of obedience. This is a day that we get to be people of God. Where being people of God means we're people of truth. That when we say something, we follow through with it, even if it hurts us. That we're people of integrity. You can't be yelling Jesus' names to the rooftops on Sunday morning and then living a lie the rest of the week. That's not integrity. Integrity hurts sometimes. Following through with your word hurts sometimes. But if we do this, folks, if we just give God the opportunity to fully work on our lives, I believe we will see a transformed valley first.
Amen.
And a valley can transform, I believe, a full county. And a county, I believe, can transform a state. And a state, yes, out of 50, could transform a nation. And yes, a nation could transform a world. 12 disciples, 120 on Pentecost, turned the world upside down. And I believe we're in a greater outpouring of God's presence, of God's power, of God's sovereign will today than they were even in. The glory of this later house, this latter house, this house that we're being built in right now, this body of Christ that's being built, is going to be greater. Not so that we can be something special, but that He can be made great. So as lies continue to come out of Washington, D.C., out of our state capital, out of the schools, let's stand up for truth. Not in a way where we shake their fist at them, but in a way where we say, God loves us and He wants our state to be blessed. Let's do what's right in God's eyes. Let's not pervert His truths. Yes, we do love every homosexual out there, just as I love every person that's ever done any sin. We have such this stupid, and I'm saying stupid, yes. I get really in trouble for that sometimes. Stupid mindsets where we think there's this sin and then there's this sin and oh, there's really this sin over here. It's all, boy, in God's eyes, it's all bad. Lying will keep you out of heaven just as much as a homosexual activity. Calling your brother an idiot, which is like murder. Yeah, Jesse doesn't like that one. That's the word. See what the word does? You speak it and it's like, whoa, it's like a sword. Imagine if swords of God started walking around that knew the word and situations could speak the truth and it brings a check to the moment. Now maybe they may not, you know, bow down and fall and worship, but the truth makes people think. Now, they may reject it, just as those Sadducees ended up rejecting Jesus, but they reject Him knowing the truth. They knew they had to quiet the Christ because He was messing with their system. I could preach all day. Let's stand. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for giving us, God, marriage. Thank You, Lord, for establishing, Lord, the covenant of a husband and a wife, Lord. What a blessing, God, it is for our lives, Lord. And God, I come against the lie of the enemy that's been spoken to people, that it is not good, that it is better to live together, that it's better to try things out, that it's better to shop around. Lord, I come against that lie right now in the name of Jesus, and I declare that You said, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. God, I pray right now, God, that You would establish, Lord, marriages, Lord, as You've designed them, a husband and a wife, God. And Lord, that those marriages would be strong, Lord, and they would be covenant relationships, God, where first and foremost, Lord, they're brothers and sisters in Christ. They walk together, God, to build the kingdom of God, to establish the kingdom of God, to establish the purposes of God. Lord, let Your word be true. God be true and every man a liar. Lord, we just release the empowerment of the Holy Spirit into our lives today. Lord, give us a voice to speak. Give us boldness, God, to say the truth. Lord, help us to sound the alarm, Lord, to blow the trumpet, Lord, to make, Lord, those individuals aware, Lord, that there's danger outside the gates, God. Help us to be watchmen, Lord, that are free, God, from the guilt of the city. Holy Spirit, we need You. We fully depend on You. We fully rely on You right now, Lord. We put our hope, we put our trust, we put our confidence in you, God, not in things of this life. Jesus, you are our all in all. You are all we need. Help us see that, Lord, that you're all we need. Lord, help us realize, God, that this life, Lord, is temporary. This life is brief, Lord. This life is a vapor, God. And that what we do here and what the time that we have here is so precious, God, and so eternal, Lord, in our actions, God, that we would be people of action, God. That we would be people, God, that make a difference in this generation, Lord. We wouldn't say, well, our next generation will do it, Lord. God, we'll take our responsibility now that you've given us, Lord. We'll run with it. Help us to be people of destiny, God. Help us to carry destiny to lives every day, Lord. Help us to share the love of God in such a way, Lord, that it is embraced. I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, God, that you're working us as your people. Lord, do your perfect will. As your word says, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this vessel, in this ground, God, as you've desired it to be done in heaven. In this city, God, in Yakima, in this valley, Lord, Yakima County, Lord, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Your design, your desire, Lord, not man's desire, not man's will, Lord, your will. In Washington State, God, in Olympia, Lord, let your will be done. Let your kingdom be established, Lord. In our nation and our world, God. Lord, we know we have not because we ask not, Lord. So we ask today, God, for you to bring revival to our nation. Turn your people, God, into lights and candles and beacons, Lord, all throughout this nation, God, that draw people to you, that warn people of the dangers of ahead. And you will get the glory, Lord, for our lives. You will get the honor. You will get the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, downstairs, guess what? Dinner is served. Hopefully you brought dinner with you, though, so we can have enough. If not, we're going to be praying for some multiplication to take place. God bless you all. Oh, very good. Thank you.